So everyone, this is the Manasseh track. And so if you are not in the right place, feel free to stand up and exit. It's okay. All right. So this morning, I have the honor to introduce our first speaker. And her name is Janice Wade, for everyone that do not know who she is. And Janice has been coming to the Crossings Church since 1989. She's been going to the Crossings. And 95, she's been teaching the Manasseh classes. So next year will be 30 years that she's taught just about every class. And so she's the... Yeah, come on in. Have a seat. Have a seat. If you have a seat that's empty, raise your hand, maybe a little bit.
If you have seats around you that are empty,
and you guys can spread out a little. Yes. Chairs are movable, so get comfortable.
Get comfortable. All right, again, this is Janice Wade, and she's going to begin. Again, she has been with the Crossing since 1989 and has been teaching the Manasseh classes since 1995. She is currently leading the Manasseh ministries for all four of our churches in Collinsville, in Columbia, Innerbelt, which is in St. Louis County, and here in O'Fallon. And so she's going to speak today about... overview of Manasseh and also healing is a choice. And she will also come back to speak to us about wounded heart. Now, first things first, ground rules. If everyone can please put your cell phones on silent or just turn them off, that would be very, very helpful. Yes. No, that's, oh yes, that's fine. If there is a medical emergency, some people have diabetic alerts, we understand that. But please do that, okay? Thank you for letting me know. And also, restrooms are out this door. It's on the right-hand side. And they're going to speak about 40, 45 minutes and try to allow for Q&A, questions and answers at the end. To no further ado, Mrs. Janice Wade.
Thank you. Thank you, Debbie. So I get to announce Debbie as my co-leader with Manasseh. I'm super excited. She's been interning with me, and I've been doing this by myself a long time, and God's really blessed me with her. She's amazing, and I threatened her that next year she's up here. So I do want to make another quick announcement. There's lots of kids in here. This is not really kid material. So healing is a choice in the intro to Manasseh is fine. There's nothing in that. But the noon, I can't have anybody in here under 16. Okay, so I know that might be tough for some people, but there's just some material in there that's not good for kid ears. Okay, so... All right, well, again, my name is Janice. I'm so glad you guys are here. I just want to kind of introduce a little bit about what Manasseh is and then introduce healing as a choice. Ben was supposed to be in here speaking, but you're stuck with me. So Ben's been leading the healing as a choice for a while. He took it with me and Tom, my husband, and then now he's the guru with that. Manasseh Ministries are the healing ministries here at the Crossings. And that name, Manasseh, which some of you might know, comes from Genesis 41:51. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh because that word Manasseh means causing to forget. For he said, God has made me forget all my troubles and hardship and all the sorrow of the loss of my father's household. And one of the reasons that we offer these ministries is to help people recover and heal from those past hurts, right? From those past traumas. And I like that it's causing to forget. I know we don't literally forget, but there is a form of forgetting that happens when it doesn't rule your life. You no longer make decisions out of those memories, right? It's something that has shrunk down that you can, it's part of your life, it's part of your testimony, it's part of your story, but it doesn't rule your emotions, it doesn't rule your life and your decisions. And it's just freedom when you get there. It's never perfection, of course, but wow, it's just a huge weight lifted off of us. Ben always talks about it goes from being a huge vulture that sits on your shoulder to just this tiny little fly or gnat buzzing around. You're aware of it, but it doesn't control you. God wants us to have the blessing of healing. Do you guys believe that? He really does. And so I think sometimes people become Christians and they get disillusioned because that stuff's just not washed away and left in the baptismal. You know, they're like, no, that's how I felt. I'm a new person. I don't have to ever deal with this. God has forgiven me, and I can move on and live this wonderful, shiny, happy Christian life. And I swore to myself, I mean this, I said this like out loud, I never have to talk about that again. That's all I talk about. Like, that's what I'm known for. So God has a sense of humor, I think. But really what it is God wants us to have this blessing of healing, but he doesn't want us to stop there, does he? He wants us to pass it on. He wants us to pass on the truth. That's what the world really needs. They try all these different things, but the only way to change, the only way to be set free is the truth, right? I mean, you guys believe that, right? I'm preaching to the choir here. So it's important, though, that you deal with your internal stuff and not just ignore it, because you need to be truth to other people. They need to see that in your life. So the scripture that we read at every Manasseh meeting is 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4. And that's our go-to verse, our life verse. It says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. Do you guys believe that scripture? So we have to seek out that healing so that we can give that to others. If we don't have it, we can't give it. God doesn't want us, though, just to get comfort, but to give comfort to others. We have a bigger purpose than ourselves in Manasseh. So our purpose statement, we read this at every meeting, is the Manasseh Ministries or Bible Center support groups with the purpose of making disciples. We strive to help those who have been hurt by a sinful world find healing from past hurts and abuse. In turn, we can share the truth and the hope in Christ with a lost and broken world. I think that's exciting. It really is. It's hard, but it's exciting. So being comfortably healed is not the goal of Manasseh. Disciple making is the goal. It really, that's the goal and calling for every believer, right, is to make disciples. And it's our mission at Manasseh to be a part of that calling. And a book that we're reading, Gaining by Losing, J.D. Greer, I don't know if I'm butchering that last name, but he says, if we're not making disciples, then we are disobedient Christians just hanging out. I mean, I read that in the foreword, and it just hit me. That's like my motto now. I'm like, I just don't want to be a disobedient Christian hanging out with my friends. And I've got good friends. You guys are awesome. I've got some great people in this room. I mean, Sonia, you know, she came all the way over from Illinois. She lives way out in the country, and she came all the way out here. Like, I love you people. But if I'm just hanging out and having a great time, I'm not doing what God called me to do, and neither are you. So Manasseh really wants to be a part of being obedient to God's calling. And I don't want Manasseh just to be a bunch of healed Christians having a good time. You know, just feeling better. It's part of it. We get to feel better, but we're not just to be a social club. So what's wrong with feeling better? Nothing. But let me tell you, it's limited, right? Feeling better is temporary. It's usually circumstantial. And honestly, it's not sustainable, not without a foundation like Anthony talked about. We end up battling the same issues over and over again. And then it feels worse. It's like we're in this destructive cycle. So Jesus calls us to focus on the eternal, right? Not ourselves, not our feelings. Isn't that correct? But that's pretty hard when you have some deep, complex trauma. That's all you feel. You can't even see past it sometimes. But he calls us to a deeper character growth. Ultimately, to imitate him. To imitate his purpose, which is to seek and save the lost. Because really, that's the only thing that's going to last. It's the only fruit in our lives that are going to last, and it's the only fruit in the lost, right? The people we're reaching out to. It's the only thing that's going to last in their life. I don't know if everybody knows this, but I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. For 20 years, I've been doing professional counseling. About 30 years, I've been doing community work and pro bono work. But people want something that's going to change them. I'm telling you, the world doesn't offer anything that can do that. Not at all. Even the, 12 steps, they're great. It's not sustainable change without God. So in Ephesians 4, verse 12, it states that teachers are responsible to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. And this is my purpose in Manasseh. This is your purpose. And our goal here is honestly to equip people to do God's work. And healing is a part of that, right? I'm sorry, I'm sweaty. Sweaty and allergies, so if I blow my nose, I apologize. Okay, so disciple making, right? Discipleship making. There's several levels that are touched on in Manasseh. The first level is direct outreach, right? Invite your friends. We have opportunities and classes here that you can just invite people to. You meet someone, right, who's divorced. You meet someone who lost a loved one. It happens all the time. They're like, Janice, I have this really good friend. She just lost her husband. I want to get her in grief share. It's just a great way just to introduce people to the church, to Christ, and get them some help. It's open to the community. All our Manasseh classes are. It's not just to the church. And just like Anthony spoke about Matthew 28, 18 through 20, it's clear that we're commanded to go and make disciples. And Manasseh classes are a great opportunity to do that. It really opens the door to God's saving plan. A lot of these people don't even know they need God until they come here and get introduced to you, right, Christ's people, and to Christ's word. So people need more than the world can offer. Like I said, they've tried lots of different things. I've had a lot of people. I directly lead Wounded Heart. I've directly led quite a few of them, but then I've trained leaders to take those over. But Wounded Heart, I mean, I had a woman, she said, Janice, I've been in counseling for abuse for 20 years. This is literally the first time I've heard any of this, and I think I actually have hope. It tears me up still. And that was like a long time ago. She's like, I literally came here thinking, her counselor referred her. She's like, this is going to be a waste of time. And it changed her life. I mean, that's powerful. That's just, I love that. So what is so different about what we offer at Manasseh? Well, I mean, the obvious is Jesus' righteousness, right? We offer his way of life. And Jesus' people. God uses us. You know, I think a lot of you have probably read How People Grow by Cloud and Townsend. I love that book because it says God's plan for healing people is people. God's people, that's his plan A, he calls it plan A, God's people. Is there a plan B? Nope, there's no plan B. We're it. As messed up as we are in this room, think about that a minute. I know I'm like, yeah, that's pretty messed up for me. We're still God's plan A. This is what he uses. So we're called to show them Christ's way of life, but we can't just use our words. We need to use our words, right? They need to hear it, but we have to live it. We have to be that person for them. What's the second level? The second level of disciple making is we heal the saved, the people that do know Christ, but we heal them so that they can be more secure disciples, right? They can have a better foundation, and then they can go out and show the world how to heal. You can't give what you don't have, right? You can't give healing if you're not healed. You can't give the love of Christ unless you are living out forgiveness. Unless you're living out peace, unless you're living out the fruits of the Spirit. We have to be different, and then we're able to show our lives, and others are attracted to that. The third level is leadership development. Honestly, we need mature disciples. We need disciples who are willing to dig deep, set their pride aside, and change their character, to be humble, to be... Dance break. but we need to dig deep. We need to be willing to take the risks and change our character. We can't live out of fear. Christ's life is not fear. It's not fear. So if this is your story, you need to embrace it. You need to get some healing so that you can share it. So all three of these speak to building up the church, doesn't it? Speaks to building up the body of Christ. So we're healed so we can help others heal, so others are more equipped to spread the gospel, and it just keeps going. The ultimate healing is the kingdom, isn't it? Because if we're just feeling better, we may even have some better relationships, but salvation is the day we're fully, you know, salvation and then eternity is the day we're fully healed, right? We're not going to be fully healed unless we, you know, complete this race. So the kingdom really is the ultimate healing. So why wouldn't you share that? Okay, so when I first came to the church here, I was finally able to be open about my dad. I say that like it was easy. No, it wasn't. I was so hateful and angry and stubborn. I still am sometimes. But my father, my biological father, a lot of people ask if it's my stepdad. It was my biological dad. And he abused me as far back as I can remember. And before I came here, I was too terrified and ashamed to tell anyone. I'm going to be honest with you. I was too terrified and ashamed to even think about it. Like, I didn't even let the thought form in my mind. If it started to form, I did something to distract myself. Alcohol, drugs, etc. I won't go into too much detail. There are children here. So the people here at the church were very accepting and supportive. And they, honestly, there weren't a lot of me yet. So they really didn't know what to do with me, but they loved me. So they helped get me to counseling. And that's where I was introduced to the book, Wounded Heart. There were times that I would go to counseling and it would be so upsetting, I couldn't drive home. I would just cry on the side of the highway. Well, some people found out and said, well, you're not going by yourself anymore. So people would drive me out and drive me home. So I was okay going there. I just wasn't great coming back. And that book really changed my life. I began to heal, and God started putting all of a sudden more and more people in my life that had the same struggles that I did and that were abused and hurt. And I was like, whoa, it was just like everywhere I looked. And so as a congregation, we started to see a real need in the community. And so the first Manasseh class was Wounded Heart for Women. I, like Debbie said, I started in 95. I can't believe it's been that long ago. Then came Healing as a Choice, and that was more about all kinds of hurts, not just abuse. Then it was divorce care. Karen and Donald are going to talk about that, the Divorce Care Kids program. Grief Share, Matt's in here. He started that with me. Game Plan for Sexual Addictions, Anger Management, and Comforting Rachel, Healing from Shame and Regret of Past Termination of Births. So every class kind of came about, though, a little organically. It really did. As disciples healed and wanted to help others heal, they would step in and be like, this is what Christ gave me. I'd like to be able to offer it. And the facilitators of each group, they have personally experienced exactly the same hurts, the same betrayals, the same healing. And that's really the key to these ministries. A lot of churches want to get like, oh, you're a counselor, you know, lead it. No, that's not, you know, Debbie is a counselor. She's a counselor with me. I know. She's like, don't tell anybody. But she is. But one of the things for her to co-lead with me is she had to be willing to participate in one of the ministries herself. So she participates in Healing as a Choice, and maybe another one. We're looking into that. But she puts herself out there too, and we all take the class with the class. So I've taken Wounded Heart classes for almost 30 years. So I don't want to hear none of you complain. No, I'm joking. I don't want to take it. I've done it for 30 years. So Yeah, but that's what makes it so special. Nobody that comes from the world will be like, you don't understand. Yeah, I do. I mean, our stories aren't exactly the same, but we understand. So I think that's what's really special about what we do here. To be qualified, you have to be willing to be living it out yourself and healing yourself. So 20 plus years ago, healing is a choice. I'm going to talk a little bit about that now. Came out of the need for a more foundational, broad healing. And it really speaks to just the universality of suffering in general, right? Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world, you will have trouble. You will have suffering, right? But not everyone is sexually abused. I mean, the numbers are astounding, but not everyone is sexually abused. And there's still lots of hurts that cause that break in trust, right? Cause that break in relationships and damages our life. I remember a guy coming up to me once Wounded Heart was going. He's like, what do I do? How do I heal? I wasn't sexually abused. But I've got a lot of family stuff and a lot of hurts. And that's, I was like, he's right. Like, we got to find something. Just, it hurts in general. So healing as a choice basically became our foundational class, kind of our 101. Does that make sense? So, and it's kind of the primary gateway, and it teaches people how God heals us in general. So you can take that class with any hurt, whether you were abused, not abused, it's any hurt, because it's a great foundational lesson on this is how God works. This is what the Bible says about change. This is what the Bible says about healing. And it uses God's word. So it's a great basic class on biblical healing. And we do like people to take this first. Not always, there's some exceptions, but that is really generally suggested. If it's possible, that's what we like them to do. The book is Healing is a Choice by Stephen Arterburn, and he is a colleague of Dan Allender. The primary goal of Healing is a Choice is to move towards healing from any hurts with the purpose of making disciples. So how does Healing is a Choice do that? First, it teaches us that the choice is ours. Right? We got to take ownership that the healing power is God's, but the choice to heal is ours. And just like the man at the pool of Bethesda, he was an invalid. It said, does anybody remember how many years? 30. 38 years. I'm like, wow. So he had a lifetime, right, of brokenness sitting by that pool. And what does Jesus ask him? Yeah, do you want to get well? Do you want to heal? And he's like, what? Yeah, no one will take me down there, you know, and he blames somebody else. But the truth is, sometimes we're pretty comfortable. And someone says, do you want to get well? And you're like, yeah, but. Nope, it's God's way or there's no healing, really. Not sustainable, like I said. So the class exposes Satan's lies, right, which keeps us in bondage and accustomed to our brokenness. We get real comfortable in our hurts. And we use them sometimes as excuses not to heal. And sometimes we use them as excuses not to be used by God. You ever done that? Been like, I can't do that. You can do that, Janice. You can do that, Debbie, but I can't. You don't understand. This is what I've got going on. That's Satan. Because that is not the truth. God uses terrible things in our lives to amazing glory. So the choice is yours to heal. And that's the first step. It really is. It also teaches us to be more like Christ, like I said, to have healthy relationships. The only way you're going to have a healthy relationship is to be like Christ. That's it. People are terrible at relationships. It keeps me working. I'm always busy. But we are terrible at relationships. So, and it helps us open up. It helps us to communicate. It helps us to be vulnerable. And in that vulnerability, that is where you find security. Oh, everybody wants security. Every goal with almost every client, I want to improve my self-esteem. I want to have more confidence. I don't like myself. This is how you do it. You go through the tough stuff And sometimes when you don't die, you're pretty impressed by it. You're like, I'm not dead. It didn't kill me. Right? I have a friend always says, but did it kill you? Like, if I complain about something, I'm like, no, I'm still here. So, right? It's the truth, though. Some of this emotional stuff feels like death. And it is a dying to yourself. But that's how you get to the other side. I know, nobody likes that, but I hear you. It helps us to be more grace-filled. It helps us to be caring. We learn the difference between sacrifice and enabling, right, or people-pleasing. We learn humility, maturity, freedom through forgiveness, which forgiveness is a one-person job. It never depends on the other person. That's your number one mistake if you're waiting for them. Sometimes it never happens. I'm not going to say never happens. It rarely happens. Usually the Christian has to be like, I forgive you. I set you free of the debt that you owe me. And that's when they see Christ. And it gives them some healing right there. Reconciliation is two-sided. It's when both people decide they're going to take a step towards one another. It's not necessarily full restoration, though. Right? Sometimes you forgive and you take a step, but it's never quite the same. And then restoration, that's even better. And that's the goal, isn't it? We don't live in a perfect world, but that's what we long for, don't we? God has put the longing for restoration in our hearts. He really has. So it teaches us not to be so self-centered, to care for others. Therefore, we reach out and help. But when we're in pain, do we think of other people? No way. I mean, I broke my little toe on my right foot when I was in junior high. I mean, my tiny toe. Everyone knew about it. It was miserable. I didn't want to do anything. I don't know if you guys ever broken a toe, especially your little one. It throws your whole body off. So when Paul says each part of the body is important, I'm like, yes, it is. Even your little toe. Because I would lit and it threw off my hip and my back. And I was like in seventh grade, I was like, this is ridiculous. But I was so focused on my pain that it was hard to see through it. And people were like, you're being ridiculous. This isn't all about you. And I'm like, but my toe, you know? So we're like that emotionally, aren't we? We get in our emotional hurts, and we're looking at other people like, why don't you get this? Why don't you understand? Why aren't you helping me? And that other person's like, well, I'm drowning, so I can't help you. Well, I'm drowning too. Do you see? It's like we just drag each other down. And through our healing, we're able to be a life preserver for someone else. Because really, Christ is the one that's going to save us. And if you look to people to save you, what happens? They fail. You're disappointed. And then it just reinforces Satan's lie that you don't have anybody. Does that make sense? Satan knows. He's so good at this. He's been at this a long time. And when you reach out and share that healing with other people, that's your testimony. That's your story. It's not a secret. It's not like, oh, gosh, I feel better. I don't want to tell you how, though. I don't want to tell you why. No, you share it. It takes practice, but you'll get there. All right. Let me check the time. Okay. So to wrap up here, for all Manasseh classes, we do them in groups, and there's a power in the group healing versus one-on-one. I'm okay with one-on-one counseling. I do it for a living, okay? But there's a power in small group, there's just a small group impact that you can't get from a one-on-one session. So there's a collective healing. You're supported by members of the group. You're not alone. And you know that. And there's a real healing when you get out of your own head and hear someone else's story and go, oh, gosh, that's terrible for you. That alone is magic, I'm telling you. Because we're so busy feeling sorry for ourselves. It's good for me. People ask me all the time, Janice, how do you hear stories all day long, 8 hours a day? How do you do that? And I'm like, I'm going to be honest with you. It's good for me. It's good for me. One, it helps me not be so self-centered. It helps me think about other people. Two, I get to count my blessings because I look at these people and go, oh man, I was there and I'm not there anymore. And God is so good to me. So good to me. So getting out of our own stuff, listening to others, being a part of a community, it's gold. Now I know not group isn't, you know, for everybody. A lot of times, especially with wounded heart issues, you need some counseling, right? You need some foundational stuff. But when you get to that point, it's wonderful. It really does help. It's also a form to practice your testimonies, right? You got to open up your mouth and say some of the most shameful things. It overcomes some fears. It breaks the power of evil. Debbie wrote that. I love that. It breaks the power of evil. And do you know, honestly, the key to the power of evil is isolation. 100%. That's what Satan has done from the beginning. He waited till God was not around and was like, psst, spoke in that woman's ear. Right? Husband was there too. But you know what I'm saying? He's separate. They were separated. They weren't with God. So we're not created to be alone, Healing is a Choice says. And you need to be connected to others in order to be healthy. And that's what we long for. So when people say, oh, I don't like people, that's really popular now. I don't know if you guys see all the memes. I don't do people. I do dogs. That's what I say all the time. I do dogs, but I don't do people. I'm all peopled out. And every time I see that, I'm like, ooh, that person's broken. That person's broken. Because the best part of life is all you crazies. That's the best part. Absolutely. And what it is, loneliness can kill you. They've done studies. Without touch, without interaction, you're not mentally healthy. You're not physically healthy. Opportunity to raise up leaders. Like we said, the senior leaders in the group can observe and go, man, she gets it. She know this is good for you. This, you can do this. That's where I find my leaders. I'm like, wow, you really have a way of connecting with people. What do you think? It's relationship building, right, in the group, so you can practice outside of the group. It's accountability, right? It's the ultimate connection. Small groups allow that connection so that you can learn to love and you can learn to be loved. Thank you. So connection requires, though, selfless love. Loving God, even though he did not prevent the pain, he did not prevent the tragedy, loving others as God would love you, and loving yourself because you're valuable creation of God. So that's in the Healing is a Choice book. All right, so beyond the class. There's lots of ways to go beyond the class, but it's important that you do. This is not a club where you come and share your secrets, just that small group of people, and then never speak about it again. That's clear, right? Okay, so with Healing as a Choice, things like journals are provided at the end, right, to encourage that ongoing healing. You're encouraged to share. Now, it's your story to tell. Okay, nobody tells it for you, but you're encouraged to tell your story with your small group, your discipleship group, your cell, whatever you call it, your leader, people that you trust. It's okay to start small and go bigger. We've talked about the connections, building the trust so that you can do that. Increases your networks within the community and your church. You meet people that you're like, oh, I don't even know you. And you get to know them in a deep level. We advertise it in the community. We put it out there. There's lots of different ways to do that. You know, like I said, verbal invitations is one. It also goes outside the class that it restores relationships within the church. Anybody experience that? I know I have. I'm like, oh, I have an issue with this person I didn't realize. And it helps me restore that. So it builds a stronger body. It builds a stronger community. And again, it's just a great evangelistic opportunity, but you're going to have to be willing to be vulnerable. So the structure, you know, it's pretty typical. There, it's a Bible-centered support group. Usually healing is a choice is held within a church or, you know, it can be, it's usually not held in a house because they, I think the cutoff, Marcy, is at 30? 30 is the cutoff for healing as a choice? 18? Okay. No worries. So they do limit the number of people, but it's usually a bigger group, and then they start out like a classroom setting, and then the guys and girls break into smaller groups of about six. You know, there's lots of prayer. It's usually about 9 weeks. It's offered twice a year. All Manassas offer twice a year, and well, not all of them. Some of them are once a year. Sometimes leaders kind of come and go, but we try to offer them January and August. Okay, we kind of call it the fall and spring semester. It is adults only, honestly. Adults need a safe place, right, to be able to talk about adult things. There's typically, they try to keep it to six participants per a small group, and then around three groups. The leaders, it's important that you choose how you choose your leaders. I'm going to skip through this. It's open, and we'll talk about leadership requirements in a second. It's open to anyone, like I said. There is a signed informed consent. Does everybody know what that is? Okay. At the beginning, it kind of just states out the expectations of the class, what's allowed and not allowed. It speaks to any suicidal ideation issues or self-harm. A lot of self-harm is evident in people that take these groups. So they do have to sign an agreement. They're not going to self-harm while in class. If they do, right, you evaluate it as needed, but they just need to probably take a break from the class and try again. The class is not meant to cause self-harm. And there's nothing wrong with that. That doesn't mean you fail the class. It just means you get to try again. It's not counseling. It's meant for, you know, peer support. And, yep, I already talked about that. I mean, just like any group, you want to be careful that's what's said in that group stays in that group. Proverbs 18:21 is part of the informed consent. It says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So your tongue is powerful. So you don't speak of other people or their stories in that group. It's their story to tell. And also refrain from giving personal advice. I know that's hard, but you need to stay within your locus of control, right? You don't need to be telling you how to live, okay? So, and then the last thing, whenever you do, if you're going to take this to your church and you're looking at leadership, I do have a list of leadership requirements in general. Of course, you can add to them, right? But you don't want a new believer. You want somebody that's at least a year old. I'm going to be honest, they're probably going to be older than that because they have to do their own healing on top of that. But that they faithfully attend services, small groups, and just, you know, the commitments that they made. They do need an endorsement by their cell group leader. We do require that. They have to take the class several times, right, to make sure that this is their good fit. And then they kind of co-lead, and then they lead with somebody observing, and then they lead. People are like, well, that's a lot of times to take it. You'll be taking it a long time if you lead it. So get used to it. Interns have to shadow, and you have to be open to advice. Okay, if you don't like advice, you don't like being told how to do things, you're probably not going to do okay with this. This leadership position is very, not just humbling, it's humiliating. So if you're prideful, that's not a good mix. You really have to put yourself out there and take some risks. Ultimately, the senior leaders observe and make that call. But it's important that you keep a high standard because this is important work, and Satan will look for any opportunity to get a foothold and tear it down. It's happened over and over again. I've had to remove people from leadership. It's not fun, but you have to keep it at a standard. So lots of blessings. lots of blessings. I get to see people's lives change. All the leaders get to be a part of that. There's a real unified purpose, though, between our plants. You know, it's a struggle to church plant, right? Like, Satan tries to get in there between the plants. But Manasseh is something that binds us together. It's been a blessing. It has, to be able to come back to that. The maturity, to be able to see suffering as a gift. You know, it's a biblical promise in James. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Perseverance finishes its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. It's a wonderful way to grow and to reach out, and ultimately, it's obedience to the fulfillment of the Great Commission. Does anybody have any questions? Yay, it's quarter till. Does anybody have any questions or anything? How to speed through that. No? Yeah. To take it? Yeah, so the age to take it is 18 and over. Yeah, you have to be an adult. We don't have any teen programs yet. I did try. Marcy's actually a result of one of them. She was a kid. She had to get permission. Yep, Shantae's back there. Yep. It was interesting. It was good, though, right? But it's just hard because parents... Right, some of these kids are trying to say things their parents don't even know. Like, it's just really tough. So, and the book is a college-level book. So I haven't found really good teen-appropriate material yet. So for certain things. So, yeah, so right now it's adults. Anybody else? Yes, Summer? To lead, well, at least twice. So you take it once for yourself, and then once as, like, I'm thinking about maybe being a leader. It's like a prospect. And then after the second time, you get with that senior leader and say, yeah, this is what I want to do. And then you take it again to learn how to lead. And then you take it again to lead being observed. So, yeah, it's about four times. And, I mean, that's the senior leader's call, too. They may be like, hey, you need some more time to observe. You need some more time to grow. So there's not like a hard, fast rule, but you just have to be – it's a huge commitment, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. It is. So, but we're always looking for leaders. So don't be shy and ask. Like, just ask if you're interested. Yeah. No, they're going to talk about that more. There is some opening. You don't have to just be married and divorced to take divorce care. And there's a divorce care program for children. So that is one of the exceptions of Manasseh. There's a kids class that's appropriate for children. Yeah. But, yeah, they're going to talk about that at 4, is that right? 4 o'clock? Yeah, so Donald and Karen, which don't miss that, you guys. They've done amazing work. Amazing work. They have so many baptisms, so many saved marriages. They got great testimonies. Yeah. And Karen and Donald, I'm just really proud of them. They've done a lot of work. And Karen's getting ready to move to Georgia. And I'm so sad because when we started Manasseh, it was me. And then I thought, okay, we got to expand this. And it was Karen and one other guy. It was three of us at a Panera Bread company with Manasseh meeting. And now the Manasseh meetings are like 60 plus people. So, yeah, I'm like, I don't know how this happened. God's sneaky like that. So anybody else? I can give you some time back if not. Yeah, so there's a couple of meetings. So the semesters, the classes are usually around the third week of January and the third week of August. Okay, Healing as a choice is typically at the church building. Wounded Heart is typically in homes. So each class kind of has its own little setup. We're going to talk about Wounded Heart after this. The Manasseh meeting, that's a leadership meeting. Yeah, so all the people that facilitate or lead from all the churches come together, and that's twice a year. So there's like 60 plus of us. And honestly, not everybody gets to show up every time, so it's probably more than that. I need to do a count sometime. So, yeah. Yeah, well, so for healing as a choice, either one, the person, kind of feel it out. Wounded Heart before. Yeah, Wounded Heart is, I'm just telling you guys, it's not for the weak. It really isn't. And you think, a lot of people say, oh, healing as a choice was so hard. And I'm like, I'm like, okay. So I kind of give them a little heads up. It's a lot harder, but it just goes much deeper. And it, because healing as a choice, remember, is about a variety of hurts. And a lot of times what happens is they get funneled in through healing as a choice. So it's okay to take that as a, if they haven't had counseling, that's okay, right? That introduces them to healing. So they may need counseling after that, you know, so that's okay with healing as a choice either way. And then what happens is people come in, they learn about Christ, and that's when they build relationships, and that's when you get them, you know, you invite them to church, you get them involved in your cell groups, and your, you know, you build relationships with them. So it's like a funnel to get people in, all these groups are. But healing as a choice is a real good start. So if they don't have counseling yet, that's okay. Healing as a choice is a very general, it's tough because you're doing reflective work, right? You got to be honest and talk and do all that. But it's not, you know, it's about the level of counseling. You know, nobody's going to, you know, be like, nope, this is too much for me. Not most of the time. They would probably be like that for counseling too. So if they haven't had counseling, bring them in, you know. If it's too much, and say maybe you should try one-on-one counseling for a while and come back. So, yeah, Wounded Heart, though, you got to have a foundation of healing under you. You really do. That's not the starting point.
I guess kind of jumping on that, the Wounded Heart, I'm the only male leader in Wounded Heart in our church plant, so we only offer it once a year.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, that's okay. Yes, I know. I used to do that. I was a lot younger. I think that's the key. Yeah, I did at one point when we first came over here, I led Healing as a Choice with Tom, Anger Management with Tom, Celebrate Recovery with Tim Pruitt, and Wounded Heart every Wednesday. And I was a small group leader. I don't know. When you're in your 30s, you do dumb things like that. So I'm like, no. But anyway, it pushed me to cultivate leaders, right? Anybody else? Okay, well, thank you guys so much. Again, the next class is Wounded Heart, so 16 and over only.